So I want you to know that God is not a respecter of persons. In other words, what he did for Aretha, he wants to do for you. He wants you to know him and to know his love. You know, the Bible says the love of God passes knowledge. You know, sometimes we can just get up in our head and our intellect, amen? But God's love it supersedes our intellect, amen? Or even our reason sometimes. How many know that God does things that blows our mind often, right? He just does things not the way we expect him to do it, but he does miraculous things. Who would have thought that when they were up against the Red Sea that it would part like it did, you know? And all Moses had to do is just hold up the rod, the thing he had in hand, and obey God. And God moved, amen, on their behalf. But God wants you to know his love, the love of God. Amen. That passes knowledge. He wants you to have his love shed abroad in your heart. Amen. When you come into that kind of encounter with God, it changes you. Amen. I shared briefly that I took on a youth group back in the, I'm dating myself, back in the early 90s. Okay. And this group was really like in total rebellion. They were not interested. They folded their hands. They looked at the floor. They counted the ceiling tiles, you know. And so I went in there because my heart was like, I want them to know this Jesus, amen, that I know. I want them to experience him, to know his love, amen. And I want them to be changed like he changed me. And God had taken me out of the mess, amen, out of the muck and the mire of the world, and he radically saved me. And I wanted them to know this wonderful Jesus, this wonderful Savior, amen. So God just told me just to preach the word and pray and worship with all your heart. And that's all I did for about a year. And boy, I tell you what, one day, God broke through. And no longer were they sitting around with their arms folded, counting the tiles, or the attitude with a tude, you know. But God radically began to transform hearts and lives. They were spending time on their carpet. God sovereignly moved in that meeting. And how do you, wouldn't you know it, but the next time we got together, the attitude was gone. There was a smile on their face. There was an expectancy that God's going to meet with me today and I'm going to meet with him today. And they were on the edge of their seats and they were hungry then because many have been born again. And when you're truly born again, you will actually have a hunger for the Lord's presence. You will have a hunger for the Lord's word when you're born again. If there's no hunger, it means you're not well. Come on. A child that doesn't want to eat is not healthy. Amen. Amen. So if we're hungry, we're thirsty for the Lord, it means spiritually that we're in the right place. And we realize that he's our life. And you don't find the satisfaction in the world anymore. Come on. How many know, like the Rolling Stones says, I can't find no what? Can't get no satisfaction. Well, that's the world for you. You're not going to get satisfaction in the temporary things of this life. Amen. You need to be satisfied in the Lord. And you need to taste and see that the Lord is good. And if you're willing to trust him, to open your heart and let him in. Ooh. How many know that life is good in the God zone? Man, just get into the zone with Jesus and all your troubles just float away. And the things that were so big are now so small. Now, instead of having a chicken yard experience and view of the world, you're seeing things through the eyes of the eagle. Amen. It's soaring above it all and seeing things from God's perspective and saying, God's got this. This is no big deal for my God. Me and Jesus together, amen, can do anything. Amen. God wants you to know him. He wants you to be on fire for him. He wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit and light your life up. But you have to trust him and open your heart and start to give him praise. Yeah. You enter his gates with thanksgiving. Psalms 100. Begin by just being thankful to God every day. When you wake up, giving him thanks, amen, for food and for clothing and for shelter and for family and all the good things that we enjoy. Amen. Give God thanks. Hallelujah. And thanksgiving produces true praise. Praise invites His presence. You want to be in the presence of God? You want your heart filled with heaven? Begin to praise God from your heart with gratitude in your heart. Do it audibly. How many know praise is not silent? Amen. How would it be if you were at the Seahawks game? I don't know what your team is, but and everybody thought, well, I'm just going to have a silent praise today. Now, that'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it? How many know that God deserves our greatest praise, our highest praise? The best praise we could give belongs to Jesus. Oh, Christians are so nervous anymore. You can hear a pin drop on the church house floor. And if you get the coffin, know the score. An usher brings a cough drop or shows you to the door. Nah, there must be something more. When David danced before the Lord, amen, the blind man jumped so full of joy. And on that Sabbath they did shout, palm leaves thrown along his route. There must be something more. Amen, we need to feel. And He is joy, pure love, pure peace. Not as the world will give you, conditional joy, peace, love. Scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. Step on my toe and I'll... That's the world, amen? But God, so agapeo, loved us. Amen. Even that while we were yet in sin, Christ died. God wants us to know Him. And how many... To know Him is to love Him. Hallelujah. Not to know me, but to know Him is to love Him. Say, how many know that you cannot love on command? The commandment was to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, right? How many know that you can't love somebody that you don't really know authentically? But when you come to know Him, you've allowed Him to have your life. You've surrendered your heart to Jesus and you allow Him to come and fill your life. And you encounter that kind of love, you can't help but love Jesus. And you will love Him. And you want to serve Him. And you want to praise Him. You want to bless Him. You're even willing to suffer for Him. Because He's just that good. My prayer is that everyone will know the love of God that goes beyond just my knowledge about Him. To the knowledge of Him, to where I know Him. Hallelujah. Isn't that what it's all about? That is eternal life, to know Him. Not just about learning more theology, getting more Bible studies, more Bible stories. Those are to point us to Him, that we may know Him. The only way we can make Him known is that we first know Him. Come on. You can't talk about somebody you don't really know. Except you can teach maybe from your head. You can talk about George Washington, but none of us were actually there. We never met him, right? But we can talk about George Washington, amen? And you know, you can even talk about Jesus and yet not really know the Jesus you're talking about. Except that you can teach what you learned in the Bible, amen. But the Bible is the Word of God. It's living, amen. But it's to reveal who Jesus is to us. That we may know Him. That we may know His voice. My sheep, He said, hear My voice. Do you hear His voice? And I know them. And they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life. Do you follow Jesus? Do you have eternal life? Jesus came to save us, didn't He? Jesus came to set the captive free. Jesus came that we might have life and life more abundantly. That's an overflowing life. Hallelujah. I found a new way of living. I have a new life divine. I have the fruit of the Spirit. Come on, I'm abiding in the vine. He is life. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank You. Father, I just thank you for today and for those who are here of like precious faith. Lord, I acknowledge today, Lord God, that without you, I can do nothing. Lord, only you can impart life. And I pray that you would impart life today through the revelation you give me, through the word of God, which is eternal, that abides forever. I pray, Lord, that you use me as a vessel. Speak through me today, Lord. Reach through me today. Touch through me today. Heal through me today. Bring deliverance through me today. Open the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf. Liberate every captive, Lord. Break the chains of apathy and complacency off the body of Christ. Thank you, Father. A few years ago, I did a series on overcoming. I think I'm just going to maybe readdress that sometime, but it's call it the Overcoming series. I don't know if there's probably somewhere out there already called that, but Overcoming series. You know, the Lord wants every one of us to be an overcomer, to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. And in Christ, you are an overcomer, but you and I must enforce that victory by faith in God's promise that He is with us, that He has authorized us to go in His name, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead, and to proclaim the kingdom. We have a real spiritual enemy, do we not? Title of the message today is Overcoming the Devil. Quite simply, overcoming the devil. We're in a battle. We were born into a battle. And if you don't fight, you won't overcome. You must fight. You cannot be passive in this fight. Are you hearing me? Because we have a real enemy of our soul. And he's out for our destruction. So we need to take on the full armor of God, and we need to know the word of God. Amen. We need to know our weaponry, and we need to know our armor, and we need to know how to defeat the enemy. Jesus has already overcome, but we have to enforce that victory by faith in God's promise in his word. This enemy does not understand peace agreements. Come on. You cannot negotiate a ceasefire with the devil. Will you leave me alone? I'll leave you alone. Because some people think if I just leave him alone, he's going to leave me alone. Guess what? That ain't going to happen. He's going to walk all over you if you don't stand up and resist him. How many know that the enemy that we face cannot be trusted to keep his word? He makes a lot of promises to people, but he doesn't keep his word. He's always got an agenda behind it. And so he is bent on bringing us down. He looks for every opportunity to bring us down. He studies our lives, and he looks for vulnerabilities. He looks for weaknesses, because he's a liar and he's the father of lies. His name is Satan or Lucifer. He is our enemy. Amen. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is our Lord. He has overcome the world. Amen. The flesh, the devil. He has overcome everything. Hallelujah. He has been given the name above every name. He has all power, all authority in heaven and on earth. Hallelujah. And in Christ, when you are born again, amen, you come into sonship. You become a child of his, a citizen of heaven. Amen. And then he gives you the authorization to enforce the victory that he's won for you in your life, and also to help others come free. So the enemy knows where we're weak. And so he's looking for ways to seduce us away from our relationship with the Lord so he can weaken us. And then we become susceptible to his temptations and to his attacks. But we cannot live, amen, in a place of neutrality, because he will walk all over you. And some people, even some Christians, they unfortunately, they live constantly in defensive mode. Oh, the devil, oh, the devil, get your mind off the devil. Amen. Get your eyes on Jesus, the overcomer, and know that the overcomer is in you and with you. And greater is he than he that's in the world. That also means that outer man, that fleshly man that's in the world. Come on. I have authority over myself. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. I can control what I do in this body because God gives me charge of myself. Come on. You can't say the devil made you do it. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. And so he uses lies to try to get us to doubt that God means what he says. Remember in Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Here's the first lie. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You will be enlightened. Does that sound familiar? You'll become an enlightened one, says the New Ager. Right? And you will be like God. Oh, you'll be your own impeccable Christ, says the New Ager. Knowing good and evil. Well, the problem is that now we know good and evil. Amen. Before we were innocent and now we have access to both. Come on, that's the problem. And that's why wicked things happen, because people can allow their imagination to go into places they should never go because we have access to evil. And the lie is that God does not mean what he says. That you can't really trust his word. He wants us to doubt, number one. Two, the devil uses lies to try to get us to doubt who we are in Christ. This is a big one, isn't it? Remember in when temptation of Jesus in Matthew 4:3, now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. How many know that Jesus didn't have to prove himself to anybody because Jesus knew who he was? Amen. If Jesus didn't know who he was, then he would have compromised in the wilderness. Even when he was challenged by the enemy to just simply listen to what I have to say. People who don't know who they are always trying to prove themselves. Amen? And they will often accept an identity that God never assigned to them. Hello. An identity crisis. Who am I? Will I identify as this or that? Well, you can identify as a Dalmatian, amen. That doesn't make you a Dalmatian. You are who you are, the way God created you, amen. And the problem is if we don't know who we are, who God has created us to be, then we will be searching for an identity, and the devil will come along with a false identity because he wants to pervert what God has made that is perfect and holy. And you'll see that in all forms of the occult. Is not true. You look at these idols, they're always usually a perversion of something that is natural. Horses with wings, or, you know, a horn coming out of the center of its head, whatever. There's usually some kind of perversion. All right? See, the devil also kind of question God's goodness, didn't he? He was trying to get Eve to really question, well, God must be holding out on us. He's not giving us access to everything we should have. He said you can have everything in this garden. And we can only imagine how beautiful it was. A perfect environment except that one thing. As soon as you say no, He comes along and he says, oh, God doesn't really mean what he says. Did God really say that? God didn't mean that. You won't die. God knows that you will become enlightened. Your eyes will be opened and you will know good and evil. You become just like him. Oh, says Lucifer, he says, I will become like the Most High. I'll exalt my throne above the throne of the Most High. See, his pride, amen, brought him down. And the same thing happens today. When we get into pride, it brings us down. It always brings us down. But if you humble yourself under the hand of God, he will lift you up in honor. So the devil uses lies to try to get us to doubt God's goodness. Here's an example in the wilderness. Remember in Exodus 14:11, they got out a few days already. The complaining started when they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Now, they had just been complaining. You know they'd been complaining night and day about the bondage and where they were at. All right. Now, God's taking them out of there. He's going to take them into a place they've never been. He's going to teach them a few lessons. He's going to prepare them for the promise that he has up ahead. Amen. So he's taking them out of that to bring them into something that's better, that's superior. But it's when the in between time, when they got into the time of testing, that all of a sudden they start to say, well, maybe it was better back where we were before. The devil also uses lies to get us to believe that the way of the world is superior to the way of the Lord. Look what you're missing out on. I was tempted with that. Have you ever been tempted with that growing up? Oh, yeah. Man, they look like they're having a great time. I just love to be a part of that. I remember in high school, back in the day, some of you have been back there, where they showed these really cheesy films about people getting high, and they were warning you about drug addiction. All right? Well, what they said was true, and they were trying to protect us and warn us about it. Now look at our society. Look what's happening, amen? How many people are destroyed by drugs? But they, you know, the whole idea is when they looked like they were having such a good time on the film. And then all of a sudden you're running into other kids that are already getting involved and tuning out, you know, turning on, turning out, tuning out, whatever it was, dropping acid and smoking weed and all the stuff that was going on. And it looked like they were having a pretty good time. But what we didn't understand is that there was going to come, it was a price to pay for that good time that was far greater than any pleasure, any temporary pleasure they're going to get out of that. And so the devil baits people with temporary pleasure with a hope that it's going to get better. And it always ends up worse in the end. He never gives you anything without taking more away. He's a thief. He's a liar. He wants to rob you of your inheritance. He wants to rob you of what God has planned for your life by offering you some cheap counterfeit means of entering into pleasure. How many know that God is pleasurable? If you want pleasure, go to the Most High. He is the most pleasurable. That's what Aretha's talking about. Amen? Just the pleasure of knowing God. And when you experience the Lord that way, it's like, man, I don't need that stuff anymore. I don't need that cheap stuff. I don't get up in the morning throwing up anymore. Amen? Praise God, I'm free from that. In Psalms 37:7, we're admonished, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Wait on God's timing. Sometimes when we get impatient, we start looking for quick fixes. Some people, they've been clean, sober for a long time. Sometimes even a couple years, they have a bad day or a bad moment. All right, they get impatient. Well, I don't want to have to wait for the answer. I want to feel good now. And so next thing they know, they're in, and they're in worse than they were before, because that's just how sin works. It's always worse when you go back into the hog pen the second time. Amen? So So it says, do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. I've had to do this a lot lately. Do not fret, it only causes harm. The evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Jesus is coming to rule. He's coming to reign over the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. This is the word of God. Some people mock the devil. They call the devil stupid. The devil is smarter than we are. Let's just face it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been so duped in life, amen, with the lies that we believed and the sins that we did commit. If he was so dumb, we wouldn't do that, amen? But we need the mind of Christ. We need the wisdom of God. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, amen, to counter his lies and his deception, because he's just like a snake, isn't he? I'm going to talk about that. We do not have the ability in ourselves to oppose him. The devil is powerful and the devil is intelligent. Now, the devil has no authority over a believer because we're in Christ. Amen? But he seeks and looks for ways for us to agree with him, just like he got Eve and Adam to agree. He's still looking for ways for us to agree with him and disregard the word of the Lord. Peter said this, and this is really the text for today, 1 Peter 5:8. How many know this? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, if you look around the room, we have a lot of lions. Amen? But the lion that we represent here is Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen? And he roars from heaven. Hallelujah. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. Amen? But the devil is also likened to a roaring lion. Amen? Seeking out his prey, looking for an opportunity to pounce on the prey. And that's why God wants God's people in fellowship and to be as much as possible connected with the body of Christ, to be in the flock or the herd, if you will. Why? Because a lion seeks for the weak one that happens to wander off. Amen? That's not in the protection of the herd. Are you hearing me? And so he allures sometimes the sheep with, oh, the water looks so good over there. The grass over there looks so much greener than it is here. Are you hearing me? He baits us with beautiful things. Most of the time, the temptation is not something ugly, but something that appears, come on, beautiful. And so if we're not wise, we can end up walking over there and saying, wow, that really does look good. And not understanding that that water is toxic, it's poisonous, amen? And not only is it going to hurt you, but you may cause somebody else to follow your example and drink from the same pool and cause somebody to stumble. Are you hearing me? We have to guard ourselves lest we cause a brother or a sister even to stumble. Mm-hmm. And we can only do it by the power of the Holy Spirit, by relying upon the grace of God. The word sober means primarily to abstain from intoxicants. Okay, right? Drugs and alcohol, right? But it can also be serious-minded. It means be serious-minded and intelligent concerning the tricks of Satan. So if a soldier, example, does not take his job seriously, it could mean certain defeat on the battlefield. We are in a war, whether we like it or not. We are soldiers of the cross. We are called, amen, to enforce the victory of Christ. You cannot be passive in this. You're going to have to take a stand against evil, amen, in your own life and in the lives of others as well. To be vigilant means to be prepared and ready to meet every attack of the devil. We need to be prepared. We need to be ready, amen, for we never know when the enemy's going to pounce. But he does study us, and he knows that if we allow ourselves to become spiritually weak, we don't pray like we should, we don't worship, we're not in the word, we're not in fellowship, amen, we become weaker and weaker and more susceptible to what? The allurements of the enemy, the temptations that are there. Because all of a sudden now the world starts to look more attractive than it did before. Somebody say amen. So the devil has several poses here. He presents himself as a slithering serpent, a snake, right? And as you know, snakes are masters at stealth. They blend into their environment. They're not easily recognized. You know, people that hunt snakes and look for snakes, they have to know what they're looking for because they're hard to spot sometimes in nature. That's why people get bit by them, because they're unsuspecting. Amen. And first of all, don't walk in places, amen, where there's poisonous snakes. That's my advice. Stay away from those things that will get you in trouble. Amen. But likewise, we need to watch out for that snake, that cunning one. You know, I'm going to give you some examples, and I may make somebody angry or upset by saying this, but that's not my intent. And if you get upset with me, you'll just have to get over it. So, but I'm going to tell you this because I know this to be true, and because I care, and because I love you. But Christians need discernment. Christians need their eyes opened. Amen? Because the enemy, again, is a master at stealth. He's very cunning. And he slithers into places that you would not expect him to be, such as children's cartoons. Amen? How about children's games? How about movies? How about theme parks? Harry Potter? How about Mickey Mouse being a sorcerer? Do you know God forbids sorcery? It's an abomination. It's disgusting to him. And yet now we've got Mickey as a sorcerer. What's the purpose behind that? To draw children into sorcery. To become an enemy of God. Another thing is the cute little devils and Halloween costumes and unicorns and fairies. How many know fairies are also from the underworld? They're demonic. Aliens. People are fascinated with aliens. There's a guy who came out of very high levels, Satanism. He's saying that the grays, you know the grays with the big eyes? He said those are actually demons. So don't have anything to do with them. Don't be looking for aliens. Come on. You need to be looking for Jesus. Amen. Not UFOs. Here's another thing. I've talked a little bit about this before, but occult jewelry. Dream catchers is another one. Good luck charms. Well, I put it around my neck because it gives me good luck. What are you putting your faith in? An object or in God? I'm putting my faith in God, amen, not some object. Because whatever you're putting your faith in, whatever comes between you and God, which could be a good luck charm, is now an idol, and God forbids idolatry. Come on. Sometimes the devil disguises himself as an angel of light. He can be a snake, he's subtle, but he's also often appearing to be beautiful, you know, attempting to deceive people in the spiritual realm. So he'll call good evil and evil good. He appears in a pretty package. He attempts to make something vile and destructive appear beautiful. I remember one time when I was drinking a lot. I wanted to be a connoisseur of booze and beer and whatever I could get my hands on, I could afford. MD 2020, ugh. But it seemed like, you know, the bottles, you know, are so attractive, are they not? Liquor bottles, have you noticed how pretty they make them? It's like, it's a pretty package, but what's in it is actually poisonous. You may be killing yourself slowly, amen, by drinking. Amen, you go down by the casino, now I'm getting into... And you're looking at all the flashing, beautiful lights, inviting you to come and throw your money away. Come on. In hopes that you'll get quick, rich quick. And I'm just going to say this, but I think we have to guard against those things because behind it can be a spirit of covetousness that I want to get rich quick. I don't want to have to work for anything or earn or wait on anything. I just want to have it happen. Fall into my lap. Come on. And how many people's lives have been destroyed through gambling? How many families have ended in divorce, amen, and broken up because of that? Come on. It's not good. It's not of God. God wants you to trust Him for your provision, amen, and God will help you to get wealth, amen. He'll give you the ability to do what you need to do to take care of yourself, but God does not want people to be lazy either. Come on, somebody. Amen. How many know it's actually good for your body to work? Well, we got some work to do for you, brother, after the service today. So, I remember listening to the testimony of Jay-Z Knight one time. She was this New Ager out in, remember her, out in Yelm. Well, I started getting involved with that before I got saved. Started looking into it. It was kind of interesting. But she was testifying about one time she was really going through a hard time, and all of a sudden she looked up and there was this beautiful being about 9 feet tall standing there in the doorway. You know, most beautiful being she'd ever saw, a beautiful angel. Said, I'm here to help you through. Never tested the Spirit, didn't know how to test the Spirit, just believed that somehow this was something from God or something good. Because it appeared to be beautiful, but it was a demon, amen, masquerading as an angel of light. And so, long story short, she got involved and her life ended, by the way. I don't know if she's passed away, but I know that she ended up in destruction and lawsuits and divorce and all kinds of mess eventually came out of that. That was the fruit. Okay, of what appeared to be a beautiful thing. Amen. And when the message, the primary message was that you can be your own impeccable Christ. Amen. All that fairy tale of Christianity and all that, when you are actually your own God. Does that sound familiar? That sounds kind of like we read already about Lucifer in the very beginning, said, you will be like God. That's the lie. We were made in God's image, amen, but we are not Him. And thirdly, sometimes He appears as a roaring lion, right? And what does a lion do? It terrorizes often. When it puts out that roar, often it will cause paralysis, temporary paralysis, all right? And cause the prey to freeze. So it has time to pounce. Are you hearing me? So the enemy uses intimidation to control people, to manipulate people to do what he wants them to do. Even through, right, persecution. So he tries to dominate mankind through fear. How many know that fear and faith cannot coexist together? You're going to be in faith or you're going to be in fear. How about speech control? Through intimidation. How many know God gave you freedom of speech? You can express yourself. You can express your praise to Him. Amen. And nobody can tell you that you can't praise God, but they're trying to do that. They tried to do that during COVID, didn't they? Oh, you can't praise God outwardly. You can wear your mask and do a silent praise. Come on, we're not giving no silent praise up in here. Amen. We're going to give God the best praise. Because he deserves it, amen? And how many know that praise is toxic to the devil? Praise, amen, will break the enemy's power. It'll cancel his assignments. Hallelujah. And that's why we praise him like we do. Because we understand this. And that's why we want to encourage everybody to do yourself a favor and say, you know what? I need to get past myself. Right? And I need to begin to praise God and be deliberate about praising God. And it's just not that hard if you start to take a look at your life and say, well, look at the good things. How many had something to eat this morning? Praise God for that. How many got out of bed? Well, you're here. Praise God for that. Amen. Start with thanksgiving. It should produce praise. And when you're praising God, hallelujah, He will be where He's welcomed. Amen. He'll show up in the heart of one that praises Him. and you'll have heaven in your heart. Amen. You'll have that encounter like what Rita was sharing and say, man, God really is good. Now, I heard about God being good, but now I know God is good. I've tasted and I've seen that He is good. And you want other people to know the same Jesus. Amen? Here's another one. You're not allowed to pray in Jesus' name in the military. Ever find yourself self-censoring? Oh, I better not say that. Peter went on to say, now there's times when you better not say that. Can you say amen? You need to be wise as a serpent. Like you got to be smart like your enemy, amen? But harmless as a dove. But Peter went on to say, resist him. Resist the devil. And that word resist means to oppose. To stand against. How do we do that? Well, we resist him through prayer. We resist him through praise. We resist him with the word of God, which is the sword of our spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us holy boldness to counterpunch. So you're not just sitting there getting beat up. Come on. When you have the Holy Spirit in you, hallelujah. Amen. Then the greater one is in you. Amen. And he's just saying, now I want you to say this. I want you to declare this. I want you to preach this. I want you to speak this word. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the devil says, well, this is a losing battle. I'm just going to leave. You see, the enemy knows enough that if you resist him, all right, and you stand your ground, all right, don't be so quick to say, oh, well, okay. No, you stand your ground, you resist him, and you refuse to allow him to torment you anymore. I'm not going to be tormented by the enemy. We take authority in Jesus' name. We put him in his place. Amen. You stand your ground. Amen. You call on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then you speak what he gives you to speak. Amen. And the enemy must flee from you. He must flee. Don't take no for an answer. Because God authorizes you as a child of God. Now, if you are not born again today, if you're in here and you're not really born again, you're not going to understand this. And I would encourage you not to try to get involved in a spiritual battle until you first come to Christ. Amen. And make sure the Holy Spirit is in you, that you've been born of His Spirit. And once that happens, now you've been authorized as a child of His, as a son or a daughter. Amen. To exercise the authority that He has delegated to you to overcome the enemy of your soul. Amen. And to send him going. Send him off. I'm not putting my faith in me. I'm putting my faith in God, in God's word, and God's promise to me. That if I will stand, amen, he will stand for me. If I'll resist, he'll resist through me. If I'll speak, he'll speak through me. The reason why many Christians are weak is because they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Some Christians they're just not really understanding what this is all about. They think it's just about getting more information. Having a theological degree. How many of you can have a theological degree and be powerless as a, you know? We need the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot overcome the enemy of our soul. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the Holy Spirit will work together with the Word of God. He will bring it to your remembrance. He'll tell you what you need when you need it. Amen. He'll give you what you need. Remember Jehoshaphat. And Paul, I'm not going to steal your thunder on this one because he talks about this yesterday at the men's breakfast and how he wants to preach a message. So how many want to hear Paul preach this message on Jehoshaphat? 2 Chronicles 20, verse 2. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat did what in verse 3? He feared. Oh, that means you and I at times are caught off guard. Amen. And we become fearful. Has anybody beside myself been fearful before? Oh, no fear. Come on. We've all been fearful. But fear means that we need to turn to Jesus and call upon Him for the ability, even the strength, the power, amen, to take courage and overcome our enemy. Amen. So fear can drive us to God so that faith will arise in our hearts and we'll have a confident assurance that God will do what He said He will do in His Word. Because it's a supernatural endowment of faith that will come when we believe what God says and we act upon it. He says, what did he do? He set himself to seek the Lord, and then he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to do what? No, they didn't sit there and tremble and say, what are we going to do? They called on the Lord, amen, and the Lord intervened. The Lord delivered them when they cried out to Him. Amen. And what were they doing? What did they do? They sent forth the worshipers. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His mercy endures forever. And God set ambushes against their enemies. Hallelujah. How about the early believers? When they were threatened in Acts chapter 4, verse 20. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Do you need boldness in your life? Do you need boldness to stand for Jesus? Amen. And not shrink back for whatever your friends think? Come on. We need God's power. We need His ability to be bold, amen, in the face of opposition from people that don't love the Lord, don't want to know about Jesus. Come on. And we're surrounded with a world that's full of devils. We need boldness. And it's in a confident assurance that comes from the Holy Spirit who enables us to do what naturally we could never do. He will take a shy person and make them bold, make them strong. Come on. Because it's not us that we depend on, but it's on the Lord that we're depending. Hallelujah. By stretching out your hand, they said, to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, somebody say, when they had prayed. How many here are praying? How many say, I could pray some more, I need to pray more? The place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God sheepishly. No. They spoke the word of God with boldness. We're in a war, whether we like it or not. And we have to take this thing seriously, or we'll be swallowed up. We do not have the strength or wisdom in ourselves to defeat this adversary. Some people who are self-confident are already captured by the devil and are not even aware of it, because they trust in themselves and not in the Lord. That's why sometimes you say, what were they thinking, or why did they do that? Because they're blind. They can't see. They're already captured and not aware of it. How many know that a person who is asleep doesn't know they're asleep? Until somebody wakes them up. Until the word comes and the light comes. And the light comes on, you say, my goodness, I've been asleep all these years. It's time for an awakening. America needs to wake up. The church needs to wake up. We need revival fire. Hallelujah. We need the fire of God. So we'll have that strength, that boldness, that wisdom, that ability that we don't possess in ourselves. To be a light for Jesus, to present Jesus to the world and bring the world to Jesus by the Holy Spirit. We need to use the weapons of our warfare. Hallelujah. See, the devil knows A believer is protected by the grace of God. So he seeks to breach that protection. Amen? How many know that the Lord is likened to a stronghold? He is our stronghold. He is a place of security for us. We run to the Lord, amen, and we're safe under the shelter of the Lord. He protects us, amen. So he is our stronghold, all right? He's our protection. But we need to understand that we need his protection. And we need to stay under his authority by submitting ourselves to his will. All right? So the enemy knows that we're protected. And again, what he's seeking to do is to breach that protection. And he does it by two ways primarily. All right? And that is, one is God's permission to allow him access for a season, maybe for testing. And the second one is you and I giving him permission by disobeying God and doing what he says, and doing what the devil says. So by God's permission, amen, it could be for testing, proving, promoting someone, right? How many remember Job? Listen to the devil's petition. He petitioned, the devil came to the Lord and said this, have you not made a hedge? Job 1:10. Or a fence of protection, right? Around him. Around his household, around all that he has on every side. You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. You can't take his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. So what happened here? God actually allowed this for a purpose of testing and eventually promoting Job to do him good in the end. So no matter what you're going through, if you're a child of God, you're walking with the Lord, things happen we don't understand, know that God's got you, God's with you, God turns all these things, works all these things together for the good to them that love him. Amen? God holds us. Hallelujah. Fear not. He's with us wherever we go. God allowed this. The second way, of course, the devil can have access to us is if we willingly yield to him. Ecclesiastes 10:8, he who digs a pit for others will fall into it. And whoever breaks through a wall, King James calls it a hedge, like a hedge grove, right? Sometimes they would put their flocks in these groves, amen, to try to keep the wolves from coming through, all right? It was a protection for the sheep, all right? And he says, if you break through a wall or a hedge, you will be bitten by a serpent. That's interesting, right? God gives us boundaries to protect us. Don't compromise his word. Don't adjust his word to fit your lifestyle. Adjust your life to fit his word, to conform to the word of God. Don't attempt to establish your own standards of what's right and wrong. Well, to me, this is right and that's wrong. God has given us his word and his Holy Spirit to guide us and protect us. These are some ways, and I'm going to finish here in just a minute, okay? Well, maybe five. Number one, this is how he gets access to us. Are you ready for this? We've already talked about one of these. It's through lies. All right? He presents something that seems to be right, but it's actually a lie. All right? Being deceived again is believing a lie as though it were true. All right? Another way he gets access to our lives is through ignorance. Somebody say ignorance. If we don't know the truth, then he can play us. All right? He can take advantage of us. That's why Jesus said, once you know the truth, you will be set free. Amen? The enemy can no longer control you because you know what is true. And you know when he's trying to lie to you because you know what is true. Because you know the word of God. The third way is through unbelief. Trying to get us to doubt that God will actually do what he said. And another one, which is a major one today, that the enemy is getting access to so many people right now, and that is sexual sin. Fifthly, wrong teaching. Wrong teaching, amen, is opening a doorway for deception. Again, that has to do with the first. In a way, it's a lie, right? It's deception. And here, are you ready for this? This is another way the enemy gets access to us. Unforgiveness. Getting you offended at people. Amen. And then not forgiving that person gives the enemy access to your life to bring the tormentors into your life. Amen. And God wants you to know that you need to let people go because they're actually holding you hostage by you not letting them go, by you not forgiving them. How many know that God loved us and forgave us? Amen. Because we didn't deserve it, but because God is gracious, because God is merciful, and God expects us to do the same thing. Amen. Not because people deserve it, but because, amen, we need to be like Jesus, and we need to guard ourselves against offenses. There are many people that are offended even in the church, and all they do is they bounce around from church to church, carrying that funk with them everywhere they go, and they see everything through the lens of an offense. Are you hearing me? They'll be almost looking for the next offense in the next place. Why? Because they're carrying that baggage with them. They're not even aware that they're the ones that need to repent. How many know that sometimes you're going to be tested in the area of forgiveness? Amen. So you'll learn the grace of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. We're going to be like Jesus. We need to learn how to forgive. Once you forgive somebody, amen, it breaks the power or the access of the enemy to your life. We've seen many people healed after they forgave somebody. Come on, right? Once they forgive, now they're in a position to receive God's healing. Hallelujah. And one more. Are you ready for this? Compromise. Compromising the word. Compromising what you know is right. Trying to reach a deal with the enemy. A happy place. All right. We have a real spiritual enemy. We cannot reach peace agreements with him. We cannot negotiate with him. All right. You have to kick him out. You have to, amen, absolutely have nothing to do with the devil, nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Amen. Rather, they should be exposed by the word of God. Hallelujah. All right. We can't put our, you know, you can't like have sympathy for the devil. I think we had recently had a judge get in trouble for doing that. Or somebody that was caught up in that. Come on. We need to have mercy, amen. We need to be gracious. But there also needs to be responsibility. People need to take responsibility for their actions. We need to take responsibility for our actions. Amen. If I mess up, I need to fess up. Amen. If I mess up, I need to come to Jesus and ask him to forgive me. Amen. Take responsibility, Lord. It's against you only that I sinned. Quit blaming everybody. Well, if it wasn't for so-and-so, I could be a really good Christian. No, you can only be a good Christian if you have Jesus in you and you're trusting him. Amen? Because he'll give you the grace to do what naturally you can't do. I've had to forgive a lot of people along the way, have you? Especially being in ministry, there's been a lot of heartache. But God has been faithful through it all. And you know, I also find the older I get, the more that I learn, the more I realize how little I know. But also, God shows us things about ourselves that we may be blind to. We're all in this process together, so I'm not here to beat anybody up today. I love you enough to tell you the truth. God wants you to walk in freedom. Amen. He wants you to walk in the victory that he's already won for you. He wants you to know the authority you have in his name. He wants you to know who you are in Christ. Amen. And he wants you to know that Jesus has overcome the devil, the enemy of our soul. Are you hearing me? He's already defeated him. He has spoiled principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness. Jesus has been exalted to the highest place, given the name above every name. And now he authorizes us to enforce that victory in our own lives and in the lives of people around us. Let's step up, amen, to what God has called us to do. We are in a battle. You cannot be passive. You're going to have to fight, amen, in order to overcome. But God will give you everything you need if you will rely upon Him, amen, call upon Him. He'll give you the ability to overcome every devil that will stand between you and your destiny, in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter 5:9, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Hallelujah. Faith is a victory that overcomes the world. Our faith in God. Amen. Not faith in my ability to be faithful, but God's faithfulness in my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.